Come on, come on. Everybody good? Everybody good? Come on. Happy Father's Day to all the dads. There's some super, super duper spiritual, proper person in the house thinking, I shouldn't be showing that kind of stuff in church. If that's ever happened to you in your life, period, with your dad, your husband, your kids, whatever, would you just raise your hand? Thank you. We live in a real world, people. We live in a real world. It's all good. If you've ever done that before, raise your hand if you got the courage to do it. Thank you, men. Every one of them were men. There's not a woman in the house that will admit that. Listen, so glad we can live in a real world. We can just bring it right into church. Bring it right on into church. Hey, listen, I am so excited about today. I'm hoping and praying that God uses today to bless you, to speak to you, to challenge you. Hey, can we give it up for everybody watching online right now? Come on. Glad you're watching. Hoping God speaks to you. I think he will. Hey, we're going to finish up our series today called Home Improvement. We're going to be talking about fathers and their children, fathers and their kids, what kids need from a dad. And I'm hoping and praying that this speaks to everybody in the house some way, form, or fashion. Now, I'll be honest with you. The first service, we had two groups come in and do the game. And it took forever. I mean, those guys were stone-faced. And so we said, well, we're just going to get one because it took so long. And then that took like 30 seconds because Tyler can't keep a straight face. And so here I am. I wish I'd have brought out a whole bunch of those other jokes. By the way, can I just tell you this? The two jokes that Marty shared were not in the cards. He just made those up on his own because he does say cheesy dad jokes. That was incredibly bad. Hey, listen, I want to start off this way, and then we're going to dive into the message. We do this every year on Mother's Day, and I feel like we ought to do it on Father's Day also. And I'm hoping that it's not too heavy. We just come out of laughing a little bit and having some fun. But I think there's a moment I always like to take out of the service just to pray for a specific group of people here. You know, this is a day that we celebrate Father's Day. We celebrate dads. And man, it's just an exciting time for a lot of people in the house. But there's also, on Father's Day, is a really hard time. And there are people here today whose father has gone on, is not with us anymore. And honestly, for you to come out of the house and come here today took a lot of courage for you to do that. And so I want to just take a moment and just pray for those people today, okay? I want to pray for those people today. Ask the Lord just to have his hand on them because today's not an easy day for them. And listen, I want to tell you as a pastor, thank you for stepping out and coming today. I know it's hard for you, but man, it means a lot that you came. And listen, I'm praying and hoping that somebody from church today encourages you, makes you laugh, gives you a high five, does something to brighten your day a little bit, okay? But let me do it. Let me pray right now. We're gonna move on. Father, there are people in this room today who are enjoying today, celebrating fathers, but there are also people in this room today who are in a lot of pain. This isn't an easy day for them. Lord, I thank you, number one, for the courage that you gave them to get up and come on into church and be around people. Lord, I thank you, Father, for who they are. And Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would just wrap them up with your presence, that you'd give them a peace that surpasses all understanding, that God, you would bless them, that you'd pour your spirit out on them, that God, you'd have your hand on them today. And that, Lord, you'd remind them that God, that you love them, that you're next to them. And Lord, may we as a body, as a family, as a church family, minister to the people, love on the people who may have lost their fathers, even if we don't even know they're gone, that God, you would touch other people in this room through us some way, form, or fashion. God, we thank you, Jesus, for who you are, all that you've done, and all that you're going to do today in today's message and just in the lives of the people. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we lift you up in your name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, come on. Hey, listen, let's talk today about what kids need from a dad. What kids need from a dad. Now, there are a lot of people in this room who's already got kids that are grown up. I would say you got things you can listen to, too. You can still do this with your adult children. I also believe there are people here today who have grandchildren. You can do this with your grandbabies. But, you know, the people that I'm probably honing in on are those who have kids inside the home now. I really believe that you've got a great opportunity to do great things with your children. And I'm hoping and praying that today's message will speak to you some way, form, or fashion. And I'm hoping that you get a better picture of who God is with us and how God speaks to his son. I want to read the scripture to you. And I just, that we're going to be coming from today. And I'm hoping that you see how God, who had a son, God the Father had a son, Jesus, how he spoke to his son, and we can learn from him today. This is what it says in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 22. It says, one day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As soon as he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. You are my dearly loved son. A voice from heaven spoke. This is God speaking to his son. You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. That last sentence is what I want to talk about today. And I want to talk about how we can, what our kids need from us. And I believe the greatest example that any of us can learn from is God the Father to his son. And so we're going to talk about that today. Now, listen, we've been talking about all year as a staff, how we want this day to be incredibly encouraging today. It's one thing that we noticed is a lot of times on Mother's Day, we celebrate the moms. We're giving moms high fives, hugs, happy Mother Day, glad to see you. And we just give this incredibly encouraging message to moms, telling them thank you for what you do and who you are. And then Father's Day rolls around and we just beat the dogs out of the dads. I mean, like, hey, you got to get better at this and you got to get better at that. And what we want to do is we don't, listen, I think men are good enough. We beat ourselves up enough as it is, all right? The last thing you need is a preacher coming in and beating you up along the same lines, okay? So what I want to do today, the best way I know how, is I want to inspire you, I want to challenge you, and I want to encourage you. Right, number one, I want to tell you thank you for what you do. Can we give it up for all the dads in the house today? Come on, ladies. Come on, kids. Listen, I want to inspire you. I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. I want to tell you thank you for what you do. One thing that I have learned over the years, 14 years, my daughter is 14, about to be 15, which is just crazy. My little boy is 12. One thing that I have learned, if anything, is being a dad is incredibly difficult. It is not very hard. It's easy to be a dad when you don't have children, but when you have kids, it is not an easy thing. And we'll talk a little bit about that today. But, you know, I know how you feel. I'm in the same boat with you, all right? And so I want to try to help you, all right? Encourage you, challenge you. You know, as a dad, there's a lot of things that you'll probably never hear me say to my daughter, Avery, who is 14, and my son, Caleb. You know, when it comes to Avery, you will never hear me say things like, hey, Avery, you know what? I really like that sketch boy with a motorcycle. I think you should date that cat right there. You should date him immediately. He is an awesome guy. You'll probably never hear me say anything like that. You'll never hear me say to Avery, you know what? 100%, yes, sure. Spring break at Panama City with no adult supervision sounds great. Get after it, girl. Go have a good time. Party like you like it, all right? Never hear me say it. You'll never hear me say to Caleb or Avery anything like, make sure and finish level 10 on your video game before you start on your homework, all right? Never hear that, ever, ever, ever. You'll never hear me say to Avery, who just left middle school, going into ninth grade, you know what? Our middle schooler is right. We are ruining her life, all right? You'll never hear that. You'll never hear me say, I think 18 is a great age to get married. Now, if you got married at 18, I'm glad you got married then, but I'm gonna tell her, like, why don't you wait a little bit, all right? Listen, there's things I'll never say to Caleb. I'll never say to Caleb, I don't care how late you stay out as late as you want to. It's never gonna happen. I'll never say to Caleb, ooh, yuck, sports. All right, you'll never hear me say it. I'll never say to Caleb, hey, remember to leave every light on in the house before you leave the house. All right, just do that. How many of you had dads in the house that made you turn every light off? Like, whenever I was a kid, if I left the light on in the house or in my room, when I walked out, I'd get a whooping, not a spanking, a whooping. Like, we turn it off, you're wasting electricity, boy, all right? You'll never hear me say, and by the way, these are things I say to them regularly. You'll never hear me say, hey, can you leave the front door wide open for a couple of hours? That would be wonderful, thank you. Just warm the earth, cool off the earth. It'll be absolutely great. There are a lot of things that you will never hear me say to my children. Now listen, those things, you have probably never said as a dad, or I will never say as a dad. However, there are some things that God said to Jesus after he is being baptized that I believe that we can all learn from. There's literally no better father than God was. And I really believe we should take the example of God and be who he is, all right? And so I want you to learn from God the Father today, how he was with his son. Luke chapter 3, after Jesus is baptized, says this, "And a voice from heaven said, 'You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy.'" There's a whole lot that we can learn from that one statement from God the Father to a son. It's not only what the Father said, but it was also what the son needed to hear. It wasn't just what the Father said, it was honestly what his child needed to hear. And so we're going to learn today what our kids need to hear from just these few statements. And so first thing our kids need to hear right off the bat, number one, is they need acceptance from a dad. Children need acceptance. Kids need acceptance. The Bible says, God says to his son, he says, "You are my son. You are my son." You're not somebody, you're mine. You're my son. You are mine. Listen, nothing can or will ever change that. Even if you wanted to change, kids, it ain't never gonna happen, because I am your dad and you are mine. You are my daughter. You are my son. And I accept you because you're mine. You're my baby. Now listen, if you have a child that has made some bad decisions, just because you don't approve of their actions doesn't mean that you can't accept them or that you won't accept them. Isn't it beautiful that we have a God the Father that displays this, that we make mistakes and do things wrong, but yet he still accepts us? It's a beautiful thing. It's a great thing. Thank you, God, for accepting us because of Jesus. Listen, God accepted me and all my junk, and now that I have a relationship with him, he helps me deal with all of it and walk it out. Listen, acceptance, your child knowing that you accept them, is gigantic. Let me challenge some of the pops in the house, some of the dads in the house today. Let me challenge you real quick. You know, one of the greatest ways to show acceptance to your kids, kids don't really care how much they have. They may think that's what matters, but in reality, it does not. They don't care how much they have. They don't care how big your house is. They don't care what kind of car you drive. It may be cool, but they don't really care about that. What kids really care about, honestly, what they want more than anything else, is they just want to spend time with you. They just want you. And when you spend time with your babies, you're revealing to them more than anything else that you're mine. I accept you. You're mine. You know, it's amazing how often us as dads, and by the way, I'm throwing myself in this because it's like I said earlier, it is hard. I'm still trying to figure this thing out. I think I'll get it all when they move out of the house. I'll realize like, I wish I'd have done this different and this different, but I can't. We're all kind of doing the best that we can right now with our children. But, you know, when it comes to kids wanting, it's amazing how so many dads are striving so hard to go out and, "I don't want my kids to be like me. I want them to, you know, I want them to have more than I had. I want them." And so we work our little fingers to the bone, hours upon hours upon hours. For what? For the purpose of buying them stuff. But in the end, in the long run, kids don't care about stuff. They care about you. They want to be with you. They're not going to remember the stuff that you bought them. They may, but what they're going to remember are the times that you sat down and played the board games when you really didn't want to play board games. You know, I'll be honest with you. How many of you got kids that are already out of the house? Anybody in the house, throw your hands up. How many of you would agree with me that it's amazing the time flies? You got a small window. Anybody agree with me? You got a small window while they're in your house. It goes by fast. I ain't trying to depress everybody that's got babies. I promise you. I'm not trying to do that to you. But it's absolutely amazing how fast the time goes. And I'm already looking back 14 years and wish I'd have changed things a little bit. But I can't. So I can share with you things that I learned. You know, with me personally, I tell my staff all the time, like, hey, the most important meetings of the day are what I need to do first thing in the morning, because I'm a morning person, I am bright, and I would drive all the non-morning people crazy because I'm hyper and happy and woo, let's go, just having good time today, you know. But about 2 o'clock, everything starts diving. I mean, like, I am like comatose, I'm like a zombie, and I tell them, like, that's the worst time to do the most important meetings. Most important meetings need to be in the morning. And I don't know about most other men in the house, I think that's why they made 5-hour energy drink, is because most of us as men start just kind of nosediving around 2 o'clock or so. A lot of it's because we ate those cheesy fries at lunch. It's probably not good to do, all right? Don't sit well on the belly. But here's what I've learned. It's a lot easier a lot of times when our kids are young to kind of chill out and sit in the chair and watch SportsCenter or watch ESPN, or for all us old guys, watch Fox News or CNN or something like that, keeping up with the political, you know, side of things, and, you know, just kind of chill. And what I would challenge you with is, because that window is so small, that when your kids come to you and ask you to come and play board games, like, I would challenge you to muster up all the energy you can to sit down and do it. That'll be the things that your babies remember more than anything else. No, listen, the last thing I ever want to do is to ever play Chutes and Ladders. I don't want to play Sorry. I don't want to put, like, glasses on that make Pinocchio noses, and, you know, that's stuff that I don't care anything about, but my kids do. So if I could just muster up the energy at times to get up and go do it, I'm telling you, it'll change their world. It'll reveal that Daddy accepts me. When your little boy wants to go out and throw the football, and, man, I just don't feel like it, muster up the energy and go do it. It won't be there forever, and they won't ask you forever to go do that. It won't happen forever. Go do it. Do it now while you can. You know, my little boy is into, it's this craze. There's a craze going on called Fortnite. Anybody heard of Fortnite? Anybody know what I, yeah, come on, y'all know the craze. Listen, and he always comes to me, he's like, hey, Dad, hey, why don't you come watch me play Fortnite? I'm like, I don't want to watch you play Fortnite. But I'm like, come watch me play. I want you to come see my dance. I'm like, you dance? Like, what dance you got? Like, apparently they give all these little characters, like, dances and stuff. And so so I, like, every now and then, like, by the way, I don't do it all the time. I'm not perfect by no means, but there are times that I get up and go downstairs and watch him play Fortnite, and he's got a little dance. I don't know what these little characters are doing, and I don't know what these kids are doing with their dancing, but it is crazy. Like, they look like they're having seizures. They're doing something like, I don't know what it is. Like, I wish Caleb's in here, if he had the nerves to come up here and show me what it, do you have the nerves to come show it? You don't? You don't want to show people what it looks like? Because you could do it. But listen, yeah, listen, it is funky. And I'm like, dude, are they having a seizure? What kind of dance is that? That's not a dance. You look like a chicken dying, all right? Somebody just wrung your neck. Listen. But I'll go down there and watch him, and it means the world to him. I have no clue what's going on. He wants me to play it. I will not play it, because all he wants to do is make me insecure, because he's going to make fun of me the whole time, because I'll get killed immediately, all right? But I'll go down and watch it with him every now and then. Those are the things that your babies will remember more than anything else. And you know what it reveals to them? That you accept them and that you're theirs, that they're yours. Dad, I understand the fatigue. It is easy to get wore out. But, man, if you can just say, okay, the heck with it, and just put push that lever down, push that little, you know, your recliner, push it down, get your booty up and get moving, it'll mean the world to your kids, and it'll change your life. It's not about stuff. Quit working your little fingers to the bone to go buy more stuff. They want you. So I challenge you with everything that I am. Spend time with them. Do everything you can to. That reveals to them more than anything else that you accept them. All right? And let them know. Tell them, you're mine. You're my baby. You're my child. You're mine. It goes a long ways. Reveals acceptance. The second thing that our kids need is affection. It's affection. Listen, he doesn't just say, you are my son. Listen to what he says. Children need affection. He says, you are my dearly loved son. You are my dearly loved son. Dad, listen, all dads in the house, our kids, granddads in the house, our kids need our affection. It is manly. Even though you may not have been raised that way and you think it's awkward and men just don't do that kind of stuff. Oh yeah, God the Father's the greatest man that's ever, he created us in his image. He gives incredible affection to his children. And so for those in this room that doesn't think it's manly to give affection to your children, I'll be honest with you, there's a great possibility you never received affection from your family when you was growing up. And I would challenge you to break that curse. Because every child needs manly affection. They need things like I love yous on a regular basis, every single day. They need hugs and kisses and high fives. Now listen, if you're a dad in here and your son is like 35, it's gonna be really awkward when you kiss your son in public, all right, in the mouth. Don't do that, all right? My brother-in-law does that. It's just awkward still to this day, but it's all good. Not to me. But anyway, listen. The thing about it is, I kiss my kids on the head. I give them big bear hugs, and I tell them I love them every single day, all day. And this is just, I don't even know if this means anything. This is just my two cents. This is my kind of halfway thought process. I think about it, especially my generation, the older generation. This, just two cents. Older generation, my generation, my dad's generation. I really believe they had a hard time sharing their affection with, especially sons, or sharing affection period with their kids, because they never really received it. And I don't know if you know it or not, but like our parents' generation, how about their parents lived in the Depression? And those were some really, 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 really hard days. Those were incredibly hard days. And man, that's the reason, listen, this is the honest truth. There was an older gentleman I saw at Cracker Barrel who lived in those days. This was, like older man who was loaded money out the ears. What that man did? He took all the butter, all the jelly, everything that's on that table and stuffed it in his pockets and went home with it. I'm like, wow, that man's stealing the butter. No, he's not. I bought that butter. I'm taking it home. You know why? Because they understand the importance of not wasting a thing. And so they are in a different generation though. And so, hey, I'm gonna take this butter, I'm gonna put it in the refrigerator, I'm gonna use it. It's gonna save me money some way, form, or fashion. But they lived in a tough generation. And so my parents came from parents that lived in that generation. And so it's carried down the line. I personally believe that they probably had a hard time expressing it. And I would challenge you, moms and dads, especially dads, change that. Be affectionate to your children. They need to hear you tell them on a regular basis how much you love them. Listen, listening to your kids reveals affection. When your kids are talking, let the world stop a little bit. I know it's easy for me to say, and it's hard for a lot of us to do because a lot of us are like, just shut up, shut up. Right? But there are times that you can learn a lot of stuff, number one. And then number two, there's a time where it shows them that, just listening to them reveals affection. Isn't that what the Father really wants with God the Father? The whole purpose why God allowed his son to die on the cross is so that we can have a relationship with the Father, so he can listen to us and we can listen to him. And when I hear God's voice speak to me, it reveals to me his affection for me. Like never, like no other thing when he speaks. And so when you speak, when I know that, when your kids know that you listen, it reveals affection to them. There's nothing wrong with it, guys. Hey, listen. Get past the awkward. Listen, if you're here, let me just tell you, if you're here today, and you're a man that's never really told your kids that you love them. Listen, I'm not trying to beat you down. I understand. It's a great possibility it wasn't in your life. Can I encourage you, just challenge you? A lot of it's pride. All right? The reason why, because you know that when you tell them that you love them, it's going to be incredibly awkward. I mean, it's going to be one of the most awkward things you, but I would challenge you today to let your guard down, to get awkward, and to share with your children how much you love them. Whether you have to do it in a letter, whether you have to do it by text. You could even say, Pastor spoke something today. Bless God that I feel like I need to do. I don't care how you do it. You can throw me under the bus. Listen, his messages usually aren't very good, but this one got me, okay? Whatever you want to say, I don't care. But just let them know, hey, I love you. And you know what? Maybe there's a place where you go as far as saying, you know what? I haven't told you enough how much I love you. I haven't told you as much as I need to affirm you and how proud I am of you, but I want to do that right now and tell you how much I love you and how proud I am of you. And he goes a long ways. The last service, I got really, really sappy. I hope I don't this service because today's Father's Day. It's day to be a man. So I hope I don't do that. I got to start taking my medicine again at some point. Listen. So acceptance and affection, your babies need. Dads, they need it. God the Father expressed it to his son. And then the last thing is they need affirmation. Oh my gosh. The things that dads can do when they affirm their children. Oh my goodness. This is what God says. He says, you are my dearly loved son, and you, he personalized it, and you bring great joy. He affirmed it. You bring great joy to me, to the world. You bring great joy. He affirmed it. Our babies need our affirmation. They need things like, man, I am so proud of you. Notice the good things that your babies do. Notice the good things. You know, it's so hard as a dad. It is so easy, especially with sports, by the way. It is so easy to find all the screw-ups, all the things that they do wrong. That's why it's hard being a dad, because we want them to be perfect. And by the way, they will never be perfect, especially in sports. They will always mess up. And I'm the world's worst. I'm bad with you. But the big picture is you've got to affirm them and notice the things that they're doing great and speak into it. I'm proud of you, son. Hey, I saw how you said yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, and looked them in the eye when you spoke to them. Hey, I saw you, daughter. You've got such a large heart. You just went and served those. I saw that. I'm so proud of you. Speak it. Look for it. Your kids do great things every single day. Find it and speak into it. Ask the Lord to reveal it to you if you hadn't seen it. And then ask the Lord to catch you when you're speaking death into things. You know, the whole affirmation thing is a very, very difficult thing. I'll be honest with you, especially as dads. Here's where the hard part is there's a place where you know you got to correct your kids. You need to really discipline your kids. You need to teach your children. And it's also a place where we've got to affirm them. But I really think a tone of voice probably helps a lot. You know, if we can affirm our kids, which is very hard for dads, in just a conversation and gentle sometimes. Now, sometimes they need their tail gotten on too. I understand that completely. But listen, you'll lose a lot of respect if all you do is just constantly ride them over and over and over and over and over again and never give them affirmation. There's a balance in there somewhere, and I don't know if I found it yet, but I'm still searching. But there's a place where sometimes you just need to have conversation. Sometimes it goes back to what we talked about last week. You don't react, you respond, you wait a little bit, come back to the situations that your children messed up in, had the conversation. And then affirm in the same process. And you bring me great joy. I'm so proud of you. I'm so thankful that the Lord blessed you with me. Man, your kids need to hear things like, man, there ain't another little boy, there ain't another girl in this world that I'd rather have as my daughter or son than you. I'm so thankful that the Lord has blessed me with you. See, they're excited to be at church. Rather have no other pastor than you, Pastor Eddie. Thank you for the encouragement. I hear you laughing back there, baby. I'm just kidding. Listen, tell them how blessed you are to have them as your children. That's your DNA. Affirm them. Dads, speak potential into them. You're a world changer. Tell them they've got the potential to do great things. Speak into them. Say things like, way to go. Celebrate their wins big time. I believe in you. I believe in you. It's amazing. Just those little words of speaking into people in the area of, I believe in you. Those four words will go a long way with your kids. Because if they hear it long enough, they'll start walking in it. I believe in you. Celebrate the wins. So acceptance and affection and affirmation. So how do we get there? How do we get there? Well, the first thing I would do in acceptance, affection, and affirmation is you got to see your kids not only as they are, but what they can be. Not only as they are, but what they can be. Don't see your kids not only as they are, but what they can be. Listen, people often become what the most important people in their life think they will become. People often become what the most important people in their life think they will become. And I'm going to step out and say, Mom and Dad, even though you may think that they have kicked you to the curb and their middle school friends are more important than you, you are still the most important people in their lives. And even though their friends at school may be telling them how, you know, all these negative things about them, bullying them with their words and saying negative things, if you continue to speak into them what they are and who they're going to be and what they can be, I'm telling you, it will come back around and will produce a lot of fruit. Mamas and daddies, you got a lot of opportunity to speak powerful things into your children's lives. A lot. People often become what the most important people in their life think they will be. Do you speak it? I believe in you. You can do this. This is who you are. Listen, they may have made mistakes, but that's not who they are. So you see your kids not only as they are, but what they can be. You also say what you see. Speak into them what you see. See, mamas and daddies see things in their children's lives that nobody else sees. Say what you see. Speak to their potential. Speak into their purpose. Raise up a child that's going to turn the world upside down because you know how to speak abundant life, the abundant life of Jesus, into them. Let them know who they are, that you're a child of the King. Let them know who they are in your life. Let them know who God created them to be. Speak life into them. Let them know that God thought about them enough that He created them in His image. Say what you see. Hey, let them know what you see in them. You got the heart that's bigger than this world, baby. And God's going to use that heart to change the world. You're one of the most kind people I've ever been around. God's going to use that kindness some way, form, or fashion to change the world. The gift of encouragement you've got is just absolutely incredible. The gift of giving that you've got, phenomenal. Keep using that gift. God's using it to change the world. Speak into them. Speak life. Don't speak death. It's so much easier to speak death into our babies. So easy. Man, we get impatient. We just let things fly. It happens. It happens to all of us, including the one standing in front of you. But if we can learn to speak life more than we do death, it's amazing how God's going to raise a generation of our children up who's going to be world changers. I want to challenge you with everything that I am. Call the greatness out on the inside of them. Call it out. Listen, when we or when they hear it over and over and over and over and over and over again, they'll start believing it. The devil's going to fight your kids every single day to keep them from living out their full potential, but you fight the enemy by words. Words are powerful. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. You speak life into your kids on a regular basis. You speak to their potential. You correct them. You let them know when they've messed up and done things wrong, but you speak life into them. That is life. That's part of life. That's part of life given. You speak into them. It's amazing. It's amazing what God will do with your babies. Hey, isn't it awesome that God speaks into us as His children? I told you the other day that God spoke to me and said, I never verbally abused my children, Andy. He told me that on my lawnmower. I told y'all that story. I never verbally abused my children. There's never been one time I've ever heard the Holy Spirit tell me, you're just screwed up, Andy. You're a mistake, man. Never been one time He's ever told me that. You just jacked up, Andy. You're messed up. Ain't why don't you just get it together? My goodness, can you not do better than that? Never said that one time to me. As a matter of fact, what He does is He speaks life into me, and He speaks life into His children. And he wants to call your potential out because He needs you to live for Him to make His name famous. And you can't live for God and make His name famous if you're constantly being beat down with words from God. And He knows that, so He speaks life into you. And He constantly reminds you, He should be reminding you of the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. I really felt like the Lord put in my spirit with this message just to kind of have a moment with the men in the house, the dads or the soon-to-be dads or the one-day-will-be dads or maybe the grandfathers in the house. The reason why a lot of times I feel like it's so hard for us as men to speak and to see potential in our kids' lives is because we've never had anybody speak potential into our lives. You know, I really believe that there are a lot of men in this room, if we just really got honest, and I'm not trying to get sappy on you, I'm not trying to make it heavy. I'm just going to be honest with you. I think there's a lot of men in this room who don't really believe in yourself. You don't believe in yourself. There's a lot of men in this room, if we really got brutally honest, which most men are terrible at getting honest with other people. Listen, men in this room, we can put on a mask with the best of them. We can put on an incredible mask. There's a great possibility, maybe not everybody, but there's a great possibility. There's a lot of men in this room who feel like failures. You feel like you failed your family. You feel like you failed your kids. You feel like you failed your job. You feel like you failed your purpose. You feel like you failed a lot of other things in life. And because you feel like a failure, if we really got brutally honest, you walk in a lot of depression. You got a lot of emotional pain inside. It's things that a lot of people don't know about you. Maybe it's your past, maybe you've made past mistakes. And because of your past mistakes, man, guilt just owns you. It owns you. God's not called you to walk in that. You know, what I really believe most every man in here, really, every man, I think almost, maybe not every, majority of men, a high percentage of men have been pushed their whole entire life to be successful, 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 successful. But nobody ever really has a great definition of success. We always just make up our own definition of success. And honestly, when you make up your own definition of success, you'll never reach that bar. And the one thing I need every man to understand is that most every man in here, your biggest fear is failure. You're scared to death to fail. And most of you in this room think you have failed because you never measured up to the bar of success that you set for yourself. And there ain't no man in here ever gonna measure up to the bar that you set for yourself. And so you immediately feel like a failure. And so honestly, what you do is you quit living and you just exist. And God's not wired you or created you with His DNA, with His image to just exist. God has created you to live. Listen, God has not called us men. God has not called us. He's not called us to be successful. God has called us to be faithful. And when we're faithful with Him, then we'll be successful. Success in the kingdom of God is completely different than success on this earth. And when you begin to set your own standards and your own bars, or maybe your dad or somebody important in your life set a bar for you of what success looks like, and you've never reached it, and so you just stop living, you just exist. You're missing out on greatness. And here's what God spoke to me. He wanted me to tell every man in this room. Number one, I wish I had you. This would be impossible. We could do this, but it'd take a long, long time. I wish I could look at every man in this room, just me and you, one-on-one. I don't care about your mistakes. I understand the good news. There's a reason why it's called good news. I don't care what you've done. I believe everybody deserves honor and dignity some way, form, or fashion. So I wish I could look every man in this room eyeball to eyeball and tell you how I want to call potential out of every man in this room. I wish I could speak it over you every single day. Because if your heart's still beating inside your chest cavity, your lungs still taking in air and putting them out, then you still got purpose and potential on this earth, but you're not living like you got it. There are men in this room that are living, but there's a lot of men in this room that don't think you have any hope of potential. Yes, you do. It's called the gospel. The good news gives you the opportunity to live out the potential that God's put in you. And God's called you not to exist, but to live. Live for Him. There's greatness inside of you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you did last night. I don't care what you did today. I know there's greatness in you. And God wants it to come forth instead of the enemy pushing it away and pushing it back. If I had the opportunity to look at you one-on-one, I don't. And so I want every man in this room to play pretend like it's just me and you. Look at me in the eyes, eyeball to eyeball. And I want you to picture me taking my two fingers and poking you in the chest, because that's what I want to do right now. Listen, God created you to be leaders. Leaders for your family first, leaders in the church, leaders in the community, leaders for the kingdom of God. God created you to be leaders. And the enemy has stolen that from you. And listen, you have great potential. You have greatness living in you. His name is Jesus Christ. He lives in you, and the Bible says that He is the Lion of Judah. So you have a heart of a lion that lives inside of you, and He also says that He is a warrior. And so that means that if Jesus lives in you, that you have a warrior spirit, and that warrior spirit has been idle way too long, and it's time in Jesus' name that God begins to allow the warrior spirit inside of you to rise up and be the men of God, the army of God. God's called you to be for your family first, the church, and then the kingdom of God. Do the things God's called you to do for His glory and for His honor. Listen, I love you. I hope this ain't beating you down. I'm not trying to beat you. I'm trying to inspire you. I know this is something that God put in my spirit. Come on now, listen. You have greatness in you. His name's Jesus. You have a heart of a lion. You hear me? You got a heart of a lion. Quit letting the enemy rob it. Be the man of God God's called you to be. encouraged by God. Live out abundant life. There is potential still in you. Don't waste it on the things of this world. Use it for the kingdom of God. Man, there's so many guys I'm around, men. So many men. Listen to me. I don't even know them that well. I just want to talk to them. But it would be incredibly awkward. And so I don't know what to do. I just pray for them. Every now and then I make it awkward and I say something to them. But only when the Lord speaks and tells me to. But there are times when I'm around certain men and I can just look in their eyes and I can see the pain. I see the pain. I don't grab them up by the shirt collar. It's like, hey, boy, what can I do to help you, man? Why are you hurting so bad? Quit putting on your front. Won't you walk with somebody and let somebody call that potential out in you? Because you got it. You got potential. What's causing you to drown all your miseries in a case of beer every single day? What's causing you to drown your problems out with things in this world that'll never drown it out? It might last for just a second, but it ain't gonna last forever. The only one that can help you with that is Jesus Christ. Why don't you let him call out the potential in your life and help set you free from the things that has haunted you your whole entire life? God can change that. God can do that. God can move in you. Why don't you let him? I just want to grab guys up and just love them, just hug. I want to make it incredible. I just want to hug them and just squeeze them with a bear hug. Might even kiss them on the head. Not in the mouth, on the head. Come here, boy. Let me love you, man. You need some love. Need somebody to love you, man. Why don't we do that for each other, men? Man, come on. I mean, that's a little awkward, Andy. Are you kidding me? Like, well, then you're the first one that needs it. You're probably the first one that needs a big bear hug. Somebody speak life into you. God created you for purpose, men. Dads, start with your babies. Love your babies. Affirm them. Accept them. Give them affection. God created you with potential. There's greatness in every single man in this room and woman, not leaving you out, talking to the men right now. There's greatness in you. There's greatness in you. You hear me? Some of y'all think like, yeah, I hear you. You told me to look at you and act like it's me, but I know you're talking to the other people. Not me, not me. Shut up! I'm talking to you! You! I'm talking to you! There's greatness in you! Quit letting the devil rob you of your greatness. The greatness is the Jesus in you. The greatness in you is a Jesus in you that wants to make his name famous, that will produce satisfaction and potential and purpose in your life. Greater than anything the American dream could ever do. The greatness in you is Jesus. And listen to me. The reason why I think it takes a real man to live out Jesus, a man with a tub full of guts and a backbone of steel, somebody to really live out Jesus, because ain't nobody else doing it. They're looking for other antidotes in this world to satisfy all their anxiety and depression and all their emotional crap that they're going through. But the big picture is the only one that can do it is Jesus. So why don't you give him a shot? Instead of just coming to church, why don't you live out church? Instead of just reading your Bible to make yourself feel better, why don't you live out the Bible? Be who God's called you to be. Dads, you're great. I believe in you. I love you. I love every one of you. I'm so glad I get to do life with you. And if I can be a leader for you, to challenge you, to dig deep and to be the man of God God's called you to be, I'll do it every single day, every day I can. If I have the opportunity to look at you eyeball to eyeball, I will tell you in a heartbeat, you're called to more. Live it out. And I don't care what you've done. Live it out. Do great things for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that the people in this room, especially the men in this room, women too, God, would live out who you called them to be. God, there's been so much death spoken to a lot of people's lives in this room. maybe even from dads, maybe from moms, I don't know. But God, I pray you'd speak into them and you'd let them know that, God, you are madly in love with them. There's a lot of people that's gone through difficult things in this place, God. But God, I pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit would crawl up inside them, God, and you'd call out their potential. And they'd live out greatness for the kingdom of God. If you're here today with nobody looking around and you'd say, Andy, I've never given my life to Jesus. I don't really have a relationship with God. Man, I really would love to have a relationship with Jesus. Would you tell me how to have a relationship with God? Would you tell me how to have a relationship? If that's you and nobody looking around, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. But if you're here today and you say, Andy, I want a relationship with God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to three. And all I want you to do, just so I know I have somebody here, is just put your hand up and put it right back down. So if you're here today and you want a relationship with God, I'm going to count to three. Just put your hand up and put it right back down. One, two, three. Put your hand up, put it right back down. I see you, my brother. There's one right there. Who else? Anybody else? Just throw your hand up, put it right back down. Anybody else? For those that raised their hand, and maybe for the ones that did or the ones I didn't see, the Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth, to believe in your heart that he's raised again on the third day, and the Bible says, and you will be saved. Confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth, believe in your heart that he was buried and he was raised again on the third day, and the Bible says, and you will be saved. Here's what it means. That no longer do I want to be Lord of my life, but God, I want you to be Lord of my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I know there was no way I could get to the Father, but Jesus, you provided a way. You died for my sins. You took on the wrath of God that I deserve. You were buried for 3 days, and on the third day, you rose from the grave. And today, I believe that you are alive and you are well today, pursuing me. Thank you, Jesus, for pursuing me. So if you're here today and you say, Andy, I want to do that. I want to place my faith in the work of the cross, the burial, and the resurrection. I want to trust that God did, that Jesus did everything for me that I need to have a relationship with the Father. You say, how do I do it? Well, here's what I believe. The Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord of your mouth. So I believe you got to talk to him to start off everything. Just start with it. Just talk to him. You can say your own prayer. You could repeat after me. It's not a prayer that saves you. It's the person of the prayer that saves you. So say, Jesus, I confess you as Lord. I turn from my sin. I give you my life. Take and do with me what you will. Thank you, Jesus, that you're alive and you're well today because you rose from the grave. Thank you for pursuing me. Thank you for calling me your own. Jesus, I give you all of me. Listen, if you're here today and you prayed to receive Jesus Christ today for the first time, can we celebrate with them, Desperation Church? Come on, come on. Excited for you, fired up for you. Here's what I would say. Is if you're here today and you just gave your life to Jesus and you know you did, man, we really feel like your next steps are gigantic. We want to help you in your relationship, your journey. It's a journey. It's an adventure. And honestly, the church is here for the purpose of helping you grow in your walk with God. We feel like one of the best ways to do that is we want to challenge you to take your phone out, text DC1 to the number you see on the screen, text DC1 to that number. And listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you some ways that we can give you some next steps in following God, okay? And it's going to help you. I promise you, it's going to help you, all right? So text DC1 to the number you see on the screen and watch what happens. Listen, if for some reason you don't have a phone that you can do that, then there's a connection card in your chair. Fill that out. Mark the box that says, I gave my life to Christ. Drop it in the boxes as you leave these doors, okay? Or in one of the canisters, you can do that. Hey, if you're here today and you say, Andy, I just like some prayer, man. I just love some prayer. If that's you, it'd be an honor to pray for you. Would you just throw your hands up in the air? I'd love to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the people in this room. God, you know each and every need in every person's life. You're a personal God. Thank you, Jesus, that you're a personal God. God, we ask in Jesus' name that you'd pour your spirit out on the lives of the people in this room. God, for people that are going through difficult times in here, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you'd get them to the other side. And that, God, you would, when you get them there, that, God, you'd teach them more about yourself. That, God, you'd refine us and you'd show